Hey there, welcome to the It Feels Right podcast with your host, Rob Nunnery, co-host Adam Stone out of pocket today. But today's episode, we are going to stick to the script. We are going to finish it off with a nice tip of the day that you can go out and use as you go play rec play today. But before we get there, we're going to talk a little bit about the results out in California at the PPA at Los Cab. And then we are also going to dive into some of the results down in Naples at the US Open. Let's get after it.
Because you know why?
Why?
Because it feels right. It feels right. Legendary.
Ladies and gents, before we hop into the show, I do want to talk to you a little bit about Selkirk's amazing line of pickleball nets. And whether you're just starting out or you're a seasoned pro, Selkirk has the perfect net for you. When you choose a Selkirk net, you're not just choosing any net, you're opting for the official net of the PPA Tour, where excellence meets professional play. With Selkirk's line of nets, you can play pickleball anywhere. Selkirk's range of nets caters to every player's needs, offering budget-friendly choices for casual enthusiasts and premium options for those with a competitive edge that are looking for more of the pro-level net. So either way, you're ensuring quality play for all levels, and I've got a Selkirk net for myself, and let me tell you, it's a game changer. It's all about playing on your terms wherever you are, whether it's the driveway or on the PPA Tour. So if you love pickleball as much as I do, and we do here at It Feels Right podcast, check out Selkirk's pickleball nets. Get the freedom to play anywhere and everywhere, and elevate your game with the net trusted by the pros. Selkirk's got you covered. If you're interested in getting a net of your own, go to selkirk.com/collection/nets, and we'll link to that in the show notes. You can also find this link in the description of the show. But let's jump into this week's episode of It Feels Right with Robin Stone. Okay, well, here we are. It Feels Right. I am your host, Rob Nunnery, and a little bit of an unusual podcast today. I am going psycho solo, no co-host, so just me. Adam was not able to make it. He called Championship Sunday. We record early Monday. Obviously tough for him to get on here with travel, etc. So didn't want to skip it. Didn't want to have a co-host per se. So, and there's a lot that happened this last week between the PPA out in LA, between the US Open down in Naples, had a full week of action there with a lot of fun matches, including senior pro matches. Some of the most entertaining stuff I watched all week at the US Open was senior pros. So I know that senior pros and I have not always had the best relationship, because I've always said that they shouldn't be on the stream alongside the pro matches. They should have their own platform. And it was never a dig at the senior pros. It was just that I wanted them to have their own platform. And they've been able to do that with NPL and with some other avenues. So it's been really cool to see the senior pro stuff. And to be honest with you, like I said, the senior pro matches in Naples were the absolute most fun to watch. You had Altoff and Dave Weinbach. You had Rick Witzkin, Jose DeRisi. I think it's Jaime Onsens. So just amazing players. And it was, I didn't see much of the women's, but I saw a little bit of Lee Whitwell. She's always fun to watch. But I mean, the chirping, the grunting, the banter, the kitchen snow angels by Altoff after his win, dropping to his knees like he just won Wimbledon, just incredible stuff. Super fun. Gonna cover some of this today. It's not gonna be as long of an episode, but do stick around till the end where I am gonna give the tip of the week, which is, I think, probably one of the more overlooked things in pickleball. I see it at the pro level all the time. I do it, and this is a bad habit at times. I see my partners do it, and it's always a point of conversation of, let's not do that. So stick around to the end. We'll go over what that tip of the day is that you can go out and implement today. But let's get into, first off, the PPA out at Los Cab. It was the LA Open, but hosted down in Orange County. And what a place to host it for none other than Connor Garnett, who had a huge breakthrough, winning gold in singles, defeating, I would say, the most consistent singles player in the pro game with Federico Stakstrud, who I would argue and say he's, based on his results this year, he's the number one singles player in the world this year. I don't think that's too much of a stretch. I think the consistency that he's played at that level, what is it, 6-7 finals, I think maybe in a row? I'm not sure, but it's the level's been incredible. It's been consistent. But hats off to, I thought Fed was going to take this one. Hats off to Connor. He won 11-4 in the third. There's just, I think he got a SportsCenter top 10. Some of the rallies in that match were just absolutely insane. I've got another podcast that is digging deeper into personal player, into personal journeys of players. And I talked to Federico. He's one of my first guests. And one thing that he mentions, and I struggle to see this, or I struggled to see this, but I certainly see it now, is that he believes that singles and pickleball is the future, because it's the easiest to watch for a newcomer, call it on stream, call it on TV. The points are more dynamic. It's not just slow dinking. It's you get ATP on the left side, ATP on the right side, guys sprinting across the court back and forth. You see really unique cat and mouse points. And as long as the cat and mouse stays in play, I think that's an absolutely valid take. I think if we have just the rip passing shots and short points, that it's not very dynamic to watch. It's pretty boring to watch. And that's, I think that's dependent on paddle technology and the power that we have. As long as it doesn't get juiced up from here, I think we're going to have really incredible points like we saw in the Fed and Connor match. And Connor took that one. What was it? It was 7-11, lost the first game, took it 11-9 in the second, and then rolled 11-4 in the third. Really tight match, good battle, and hats off to Connor for the local guy from Orange County, taking the Orange County W. And I know I saw Jimmy Miller put out a tweet kind of throwing some shade at my co-host here, Adam Stone, who's not here to defend himself, so I'll do it on his behalf. But I know he mentioned something about, like, so Jimmy Miller said, I don't have it directly in front of me. He's like basically saying Adam called Connor Garnett the Orange County kid in the commentary, in the broadcast. And Jimmy decided to craft a tweet that said, what is Adam Stone talking about? Does he know that Connor's from Washington State? You can't call him an Orange County kid if he's not from Orange County. Well, Jimmy, to take the time to compose your first tweet in 2 weeks about a nitpicky thing with Adam's commentary, as Adam said, in the 50th hour of commentary in the last 3 weeks, where it's, I think it's a tough job. It's not where you show up 1 hour a week. It's grueling. It's a lot of time at the booth. It's trying not to say the same thing over and over when you're kind of watching the same points over and over. It's a tough gig. And I think it's fair to call Connor Garnett an Orange County kid. I mean, he's in my book, still a kid. He lives in Orange County, has lived there the past few years. So he's an Orange County kid. Who cares? But anyways, that I think that beef got squashed pretty quickly as Jimmy followed up with an apology and saying he appreciates all Adam does. So anyways, big result for Connor, big result for Thomas Wilson and Vivian David. I mean, they talk about another consistent team. They have been just all over the podiums this year. They had a big win this go around, taking out Ben Johns and Anna Bright. Anna Lee Waters playing down at the U.S. Open in Naples, so skipping out on the trip out to the West Coast this go around. So Ben played with Anna Bright. And they didn't get the gold. So I mean, huge win by Thomas and Viv. Congrats to them. That let's see what that score was. That score was, in four games they dropped the third game 11-8, but finished the fourth game 11th. And I started playing with, like, when I first got into pickleball, it was Vivian David and I drilling down at her dad owned a store down in Bonita Springs, close to Fort Myers, close to Naples in Florida. And I had just moved from Austin, Texas to Florida for better practice, and basically drilled at that place every single day with Vivian and Deckel to see how far Vivian has come since then, and to see her staying power has been really cool to see, because she's always been super talented. Her defense has always been crazy. And I don't think a lot of people remember, but Vivian's kind of first baby breakthrough in pickleball was in singles at a tournament her dad ran, I believe, called the World Pickleball Championship. And she beat some good players in singles, and people were like, oh, who's this? She's going to be good. And then she kind of stopped playing singles pretty quickly after that. I don't think she enjoyed it very much. She enjoys obviously, with all the smiles and happiness. She enjoys the camaraderie and teamwork of doubles. So she's honed her craft, and she's gotten really, really good at doubles, women's and mixed. So big props to her. And Thomas, also back to my Austin roots, one of the first guys I played with when I first started playing. And he had been playing for a while, just very sporadically and not really taking it seriously whatsoever. But to see his progress and to see him take it seriously, like there's always, I mean, his talent was never in question, even back then, call it 2020, end of 2019. I mean, his movement and firepower and just, lively arm, his quickness. It was almost like to his detriment back then, because the paddle technology isn't what it is now. So all of his stuff was flying. It was too, thing would stay in. And now the games adapted perfectly to his style. And you see it with him, it's kind of the future wave of what pickleball is looking like. So yeah. Just big props to Brooke Buckner on taking the women's singles title. And the final, she took down, let's see who we have here. She took down Lauren Stratman. And hey, props to Lauren Stratman. She's another OG that's been around for a long time. Doesn't always play singles, but has been playing it more this year. Brooke took it 11-8, 11-0. Brooke's had incredibly consistent results in singles as well. I mean, she moves well. She hits the ball hard. She's a new mother, which is even more impressive. So that's really cool to see. Caitlin Christian took the bronze 11-5, 11-3 over Lacey Schneeman. And Caitlin Christian's another one that, has always been good at singles. I saw her for the first time back at the California Open in March 20. And I don't know if she played doubles, but I know she played singles. And I knew she was a pro tennis player. And I think she smoked everybody in singles. I was like, oh man, if she ever took this seriously. And not just show up at like a local tournament like she was, because she was based in California. It's like, she'll be very good. And now with pro pickleball where it's at, with the prize money and the contracts and the endorsements, where you can make a living off of it, much more so than kind of the fledgling tennis player, it's cool to see her come over and get some results. And I expect her results to only continue getting better in doubles as well. I've watched her play a little bit and pretty impressed with her soft stuff already. So we'll see how that continues to develop. Some other results in men's pro doubles. We had a really fun match, and this could have gone either way, but we had the Johns brothers taking down Tyson and Jaume 11-6 in the fifth. So Tyson and Jaume took the first 11-7. They had a solid lead in the second game, which could have been all the difference if they would have taken that second game, but they end up dropping it 11-9. And then the third game, they drop 11-9. And big props to them in this fourth game, because when you're down 2-1, especially against the Johns, it's easy to say, oh, we had a good run. We had our chances. They're too good. And to start doing some silly stuff in that fourth game and start spraying stuff. And they're just going to be rocks and solid, not do too much. Just going to try to let you beat yourself. And they stuck with it and won that fourth game 11-8. And then in the fifth, 11-6. But again, like, Tyson and Jaume, I mean, another props to Tyson, right? Like, this guy gets results with, it doesn't matter who he's playing with, really. But I love this partnership because of their energy together. Tyson's a rock on the right. Jaume is not your prototypical left side player. He's a smaller guy, but moves incredibly well, has a lot of weapons off the bounce. Is really good. Adam and I talked about this last week. Is really impressive going from the fast stuff to the soft stuff. So he can do a speed up and take a counter and that's at his feet and reset it really well. He also, Jaume's hands are elite. His hands are heavy. I saw Tyson speed up a couple middle balls where Ben's taking full cracks at the forehand. And Jaume's taking full cracks of the forehand, and Colin doesn't even see the ball because it's already hit the back fence behind him. And that's impressive stuff. So I would love to see that partnership continue. I think they're super fun to watch. The energy is really good. And that's what we need at pickleball. We need guys like Tyson and Jaume feeding off each other and creating a really fun on-court environment for the fans. It was just so fun to watch and really cool to see. Just back to men's singles. Big shout out to Roscoe Bellamy. I remember seeing him first time at the, I believe it was the Cincinnati APP last year, and he was just battling through qualies and getting some good wins. And I mean, just his presence. He's a big guy. He's tall. I wouldn't say he's big. He's tall. He's a tall guy. But I mean, full Western grip, it looks like, just cracking serves. And it's no surprise that his game's starting to come around. He got a bronze medal out in California, taking down Anik Lohani, who's been a regular guy in the mix of these tournaments, 11-4 in the third. So great result there. Another shout out to Connor, man. I thought Connor was going to be primarily a singles guy, and he has shown his chops in doubles, getting fourth place with Augie Ga. They lost to Rettmeier and Navarro 11-9, 11-5. And it's, yeah, you wonder. So with how deep the PPAs are, you wonder about guys getting lost in the mix. And I think Rettmeier's been one of those guys who is talented but hasn't had the results that he's probably expecting of himself. So to see some of these breakthroughs of getting on the podium is great. Yeah, so it makes you wonder, with salaries being more of the prominent position financially with these guys and prize money being less of an incentive, how driven are these guys for results? And I think I haven't seen the letdown that maybe I thought we might see. I think everybody's fighting hard and wanting to win. And so I think that's cool to see. I hope that maintains. We haven't seen any lefty serves or lefty returns, which is, in my opinion, a good thing. So let's see what else we got here. In women's pro doubles, we have the return of Glasdog. Vivian Glasman back in action. She had taken some time off, I'm assuming, trying to sort out contract stuff and figuring out what the plan is. But got to the final with Lacey Schneeman, but dropped it in straight games to Anna Bright, Rachel Rohrabacher, who have had a couple back-to-back phenomenal performances in women's doubles. So big props to them. And Glasman, what a return, getting to Championship Sunday in her first tournament back. So that's, if anybody had any questions on whether Vivian's still going to be relevant taking all that time off, I think the answer is a resounding yes. And you had a barn burner in women's doubles at the bronze, with Megan Dizon and Etta Wright taking down the Brashas 11-9 in the third in a really tight match. So just a lot of fun results out in California. We can just make our way over to the U.S. Open, which I already mentioned. The senior pro action was super fun. We had Altoff and Dave taking down, I think it was Rick Witskin, and I'm not sure who Rick played with. Apologies on that. But Altoff and Dave just chirping and grunting and the gits, and it's fun stuff. If you guys get a chance, go back to YouTube, watch the U.S. Open senior men's final with Altoff. It's epic stuff. You won't regret it. And the regular pro, we had pretty chalk stuff. We had Dylan Frazier, J.W. Johnson taking down Andre Daescu and Gabe Tardio. The first two games were tight. Andre and Gabe took it 11-9. Dylan and J-Dub took the second game 12-10 and then ran away with the third 11-1. And we've seen this matchup a handful of times. It doesn't favor Daescu-Tardio. I think this is a pretty standard result for what you're going to see with that. I think Andre, yeah, you won't see it anymore on the APP side, but if Andre goes and plays some PPAs, you might see that partnership some more. And women's pro doubles, we had Anna Lee making the return to the court outside of a PPA or MLP with her mom, Lee. And they took down Simone and Allison Harris, 11-5, 11-5 in the finals. And they were pretty cruisy throughout the whole thing. Lee was doing her thing and setting up Anna Lee. And Anna Lee was running all over the court, cranking backhands, rolling, driving. It was typical stuff that we saw there. And mixed, Anna Lee and Jada partnered up together and pretty much had smooth sailing. It's always fun watching them play mixed together because it's the most fun I ever see Jada having on court. He's laughing the entire time. It's just fun to see. He's such a good kid. And Anna Lee brings out kind of the best in him in terms of being light on court, but also playing fantastic. I love that partnership. I wish we'd see more of it. That's the thing with Anna Lee. I think she could play with probably four or five different guys, maybe more, and win 95% of the mixed events. And I think a testament to that is seeing what happened out in California with Anna Bright and Ben, you know, losing in four games to Thomas Wilson and Vivian David, like we talked about. I think Anna Lee is that good. I think she's that good. I think she can win with a multitude of dudes, and it doesn't really matter. I mean, I might take that down to actually top five is crazy. I'll take Anna Lee. Anna Lee with a top 15 guy. Anna Lee with a top 15 guy wins mixed doubles against everybody, against the full field 95% of the time, maybe more. Yeah, I mean, she's that good. It's silly. And I think she's the common denominator looking at mixed results here. And the bronze match in mixed, we had so Anna Lee and Jada beat Fudge and Daescu 2 and 3. Pretty routine stuff. And we had Hunter and Paris taking a well-earned bronze medal against Georgia Johnson and Gabe Tardio, which I would have put them as, I would say, pretty heavy underdogs in that match. I would say that's a, call it a 65-35 to Georgia and Gabe. So Hunter and Paris got them this time 11-9 in the third, which looked to be a really, really good match. And the fifth place match, we had Dylan and Millie. So we had a pretty strong field here in mixed. We had Dylan and Millie Rain taking down Ryler DeHart and Bobby Oshiro, 15-11. And shout out to Bobby Oshiro, I think, and Ryler. I think Bobby is one of the more underrated players in the women's game. And I think with the right partners, she is winning a lot of golds, certainly on the APP. But I think she could get results wherever she plays. Let's see what else we have here. A lot of mixed results. I think so in singles. Oh. Singles. Big shout out to Jack Foster. He has been grinding for, I mean, he's still young, but he's been grinding for quite a few years and playing a ton of singles and had a lot of ups and downs, but he's battled through and gotten a gold medal at the U.S. Open, which is, yeah, a weakened field compared to maybe past years. But at the same time, I don't care. Singles is singles. JW was playing, Tardio was playing. Like it was, there were good players playing singles. And for Jack to get a big W and take gold is it's a big deal. So big shout out to Jack Foster on taking that. And I think we talked about that last week. And yeah, I think it deserves a second shout out. So this is a little bit of the results. I don't want to be too repetitive here. And I don't think this is going to be a very long podcast necessarily, but I do want to go into the tip of the week, which thank you for sticking around if you've stuck around to this point. Before I get into it, would love to hear your thoughts on some of the results from the PPA, whether it's Connor's breakthrough, whether it's Thomas and Vivian taking down Ben and Anna Bright, whether it was some of the U.S. Open results, some of the senior results. Would love to hear your thoughts. And would love to hear your thoughts on kind of the separation of the two of, you know, the PPA hosting something on U.S. Open weekend. Obviously, there's still a separation in terms of the pro landscape, which I don't think it's going anywhere for a while at this point. We're going to have the APP doing their thing, the US Open and Pickle Four doing their thing. We're going to have UPA now kind of trying to own the market on their side. So the battle's just heating up. Would love to hear your thoughts on what that looks like moving forward in the future. And what you as a fan, do you like the set? Obviously, it'd be fun to have all the same players at the same events, but do you like having multiple events to watch? I think maybe. So curious to hear your thoughts on that. Let us know in the comments down below. And if you haven't already, it's a big help for us if you like and subscribe to the channel. It allows us to keep doing what we're doing here. And yeah, you'll get notified when we actually release a new episode, which is every Wednesday. And we've been consistent with this, whether it's just me or whether it's Adam and I or whether it's myself and a guest co-host. We've been consistent. And we plan on continuing to be consistent and having episodes drop every Wednesday. So keep an eye out for that. Tip of the week, four shots. This is a big one. And there's a few different layers to this. And I think the key is with how big guys are serving and gals are serving these days, that it's easy to not get all the way to the kitchen line. And I can't stress enough how important it is to get all the way to the kitchen line before you hit your fourth shot. It's to me, it's a non-negotiable. You cannot, I don't care what you do. And I say this to a 3-0. I say this to a pro player. I don't care what you have to do. You have to get to the kitchen line for your fourth shot. You cannot be hitting that thing 3 feet behind the kitchen line because you're going to be hitting it from your ankles. You're going to give your opponent such a big window to hit their third and two that there's no stress whatsoever. If you're able to hit the return, haul ass, get to the kitchen line, and reach in, you're giving your opponent such a small window to hit to that it puts an enormous amount of pressure on them to make their third and hit their third perfectly. If you don't get there, they know that they have a big window to hit into, and it just makes their life so much easier. Another key aspect of this, and it kind of goes along with getting to the kitchen line. Oftentimes I'll see people getting to the kitchen line, but then there's kind of a little bit of a lofty third that comes over, clears the net by a little bit. The ball lands about the kitchen line, which is a big no-no. There's no point in letting that ball bounce and giving your opponents time to come in, especially if they have good hands, because they're going to be ready. If you're trying to hit that hard off the bounce, they're already making their way in. They're in a good position to counter already, and they're going to be ready. So what I would prefer pretty much all the time, unless you're hitting this ball from your ankles, is reaching in, trying to take that ball out of the air, and keeping your opponents back. There's some danger here, but the benefits of taking this ball out of the air is you don't just openly invite your opponent to come to the kitchen line. Points are one at the kitchen line, and if you're openly inviting them to get in, then it's you're taking away a big advantage of being the returning team. So as best you can, take that ball out of the air. And this takes some practice, right? Like if you're taking a ball, call it net level or just below net level out of the air, it takes some time to learn how to hit a good fourth. And that's a little bit of a roll volley, right? If you try to just hit a cut volley, that thing is going to float and it's going to be very poachable. So you want to be able to reach in and actually get some juice on this fourth. Otherwise, if you're reaching down low and just kind of popping it up, it's also going to be very coachable. So it's finding that fine line of, can I take this fourth out of the air? If yes, always do it. And what determines whether it's yes or not is if it's net level or just below net level, and you're able to hit a volley that doesn't pop up and can kind of stay low-ish, then you have to take it out of the air. Because it's keeping them back on their fifth shot is huge. So that's the main point that I want to get across is get to the kitchen line on your fourth, take the fourth out of the air, and keep your opponents back. Because points are one at the kitchen line. If you can keep your opponent back and not just invite them in, do it. And I think people letting the ball bounce and then ripping a ball on that fourth is it's seen more and more. Sometimes it's effective. The only person that I have seen that does it incredibly effective is really Connor Garnett on that backhand side. So when guys roll or gals roll a forehand drop to that backhand corner, he always lets it bounce because it's going to bounce up high enough for him to rip a backhand. And he's so precise with the placement that he can do that and he can get away with it. So that's the exception. It's not the rule. The rule is take that fourth out of the air if you're able, keep your opponents pinned back. And honestly, that's going to do it for this episode of the It Feels Right podcast. Thanks for listening. Even if it was just me blabbering on for 30 minutes, I appreciate you and look forward to seeing you again next week with Mr. Adam Stone. See you then.